This presentation is brought to you by iawaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Good. Okay, let's start off with a new piece of Gemara. So we're on Daf Hey Amud Beis. And we had Rav Huna believing that we could learn chuppah from the other three. That means that chuppah could be one of the valid forms of kinyonim for kiddushin. Not only kesef, shtar, and bio, as the Mishnah states, but we could learn from a kal vachomer from those three that the same would apply with chuppah, that one could do a kiddushin also using a chuppah, not only a nisuin. And Rav explains now why that just wouldn't work. The Gemara also discussed that the other Amiroim hold it won't work because you can't learn about the Kal Vachomer because there are examples of Bar Kocho in the other cases, not so Chuppah. And Rav Huna said, Kesef Mia be issues Lo Ashkechon Bar Kocho, according to Rashi's Gisa, Kesef be issues Mia Lo Ashkechon Bar Alma Bar Kocho, and therefore he found a way to learn it. Omar Rover, so Rover says to that, Shtei Teshuvas Bedover. Even if you write, Rav Huna, about the Bar Kocho issue, there's still two reasons why we wouldn't say that chuppah is one of the valid kinyonim. The first one is, chado, desholish tznan v'dalad leitznan. If you look at the Mishnah says quite clearly, ha'isha nikneis besholish drochim. Women can be acquired in kiddushin using one of three methods. And it specifically says three. It doesn't just say, ha'isha nikneis bekesef b'shtar v'bio. It starts off by saying, Ha'isha nikneis besholish drochim, implying there are only three valid kinyonim. There isn't a fourth one. There isn't another one. And so from the Loshon of the Mishnah, we seem to exclude any possibility that chuppah is also a valid kinyon. Void, and furthermore, klum chuppah gomeris elo al yedei kiddushin. At the end of the day, we have no precedent for chuppah working as an independent kinyon all on its own. We've only got a case of chuppah working in conjunction with kiddushin. So provided kiddushin was done first, then chuppah finishes off and makes a nisuin. How could we possibly learn a kal vachomer of chuppah without, as it is used together with kiddushin, to apply it to a case where there's no kiddushin and say chuppah is powerful enough to operate on its own? We have no precedent, we have no place to say that chuppah is powerful enough to operate on its own, and therefore there's no way that we could learn chuppah as being a valid kinyan on its own. So Omale Abaya says to Rove in defense of Rav Huna, Hodeko Amris Gimel Tznan V'dalot Leitznan, the fact that the Mishnah says three and not four, Tana Milta Dixiva Behedye, Ktani, Milta Dixiva Behedye, Leksani. We could say quite simply that the Mishnah is, when it says the Sholesh Drochim is talking midoraisa, those cases that are clearly stated in the Torah. And there are only three cases clearly stated in the Torah, Kesef, Shtar, Bia, but the Chuppah is not stated. Clearly we have to learn it from Me'atzad, from the other Kinyonim, and therefore it isn't included in the Mishnah. But that doesn't mean that Chuppah isn't a possible Kinyon. It just means it's not one of the Kinyonim that's Ksiva Behedya that is clearly written in the Torah. With the Ka'amris, Klum Chuppah Gomeres Ela Yedei Kiddushin. And if you'll say we have no precedent for Chuppah working without Kiddushin, Rav Huna Nami Hachika Omer, Rav Huna could also learn the Kal Vachomer in the following way. Uma Kesef She'ino Gomer Achar Kesef Kine Kinyan Kesef, which cannot work for Nisuin, even after it's been used, even after Kesef has been used for Kiddushin. So if a woman is Mekudeshes B'Kesef, she cannot become a nesua b'kesef. We can't use kesef as the kinyan to make her a nesua. So we see that kesef doesn't have that capability of finishing off the total marriage kinyan. And nevertheless, it works for kiddushin. Chuppah shegomeres achar kesef. Chuppah that is strong enough to finish the marriage kinyan off as the act of nesuin. Enodin shetikona. Isn't it clear that it could work on its own also as a Kinyan Kiddushin? Now, what exactly the Machlokes Abaya and Rove is initially not altogether that clear. Is it just a matter of whether or not we can learn the Kal Vachomer by packaging it together with Kesef or not? But it seems a little bit more it seems a little bit more than that. And what it seems to be is that the question is whether chuppah is a kinyan altogether. We have no other case of kinyan, of chuppah being a kinyan. Kesef we know, shtar we know, even bil we have another case, we have yavomo, we have cases, we have some kinds of precedent. But chuppah we don't really have as a kinyan. So is chuppah a kinyan? We've just assumed, the Gemara says we moved into Rav Huna, we kind of assumed that chuppah was a kinyan. But it's not clear at all that chuppah is a kinyan. Chuppah might just be the initiation of marriage. That after having done a kinyan kiddushin, he brings her into her home, and chuppah is just a symbol of doing that. And that's really the machlokes here. If you want to say that chuppah is a kinyan, and it works to do something, it changes status. Even though it needs kesef first, it needs a kinyan kiddushin. But once there's a kinyan kiddushin, it's an actual kinyan that changes status from aruso to nesuo. That's how Rav Huna learns. It is a kinyan. And since it is a kinyan, it's a kinyan that in some ways has more power than the kinyan of kesef. And therefore, it should be able to work for kinyan kiddushin as well. But if you want to initiate the marriage with chuppah, you can do that just as you do it with kesef and with shtar and with bia. The fact that the Mishnah doesn't include it in the three ways that a woman can be acquired is because it's not ksiva behed yevikro, it's not written specifically in the pasuk. Whereas Rava holds that chuppah is not a kinyan at all, it doesn't work without kesef, the kinyan is kesef. And without kesef, she doesn't change her status, it's really the kinyan kesef, it's the kinyan kiddushin that changes her status. That makes her an ashes ish. So the nesuah is just the beginning of the marriage. From when do we count the marriage as starting? From the time he brings her into his home. At what time is he permitted to bring her into her home? That's done by means of chuppah. So it's really just an initiation of the process of marriage. It's not really a kinyan on its own. So we have two views, the view of Abaya and the view of Rava, as to what chuppah is, whether chuppah is in fact a kinyan or it isn't a kinyan. And it would also be interesting to think what moment does chuppah become a kinyan if it's a kinyan. One of the important things with a kinyan is it's a very clear moment. Is it the moment she walks, he's standing under the chuppah, the moment she walks under the chuppah? Is that the moment at which the kinyan is finished? Is that all that needs to be done? Do they have to need to stand under the chuppah for a certain amount of time? We say sheva brachas under the chuppah. Do you need to do anything under the chuppah? It's not very clear how chuppah would work if it is a kinyan. And therefore most poskim paskin like Rava, that chuppah is not a kinyan. It's certainly not one of the kinyone kiddushin. We don't paskin like Rav Huna. And also that based on this understanding, is chuppah in fact doesn't function as a kinyan at all. When we're standing at a wedding and we're watching the chuppah part of it, the kinyan's done already. The kinyan is the kinyan kiddushin, and the chuppah is a symbolic demonstration of the commencement of the marriage. What's interesting here is the Gemara's clear statement that the reason that the Mishnah says b'sholosh drachim is because these are three cases, d'chsiva behedya, where the Torah, where it's written clearly in the Torah. Now, I sent you the Rambam, so if you look in the, it's not a very clear printout, but if you want to look in the Rambam, I think I marked it as Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. It's not really that, it's Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, is what it is. So it's just four lines on the bottom of the Rambam. The likuchim elu mitzvas aseh shel Torahem, to marrying a woman using the method of kiddushin is a mitzvas aseh in the Torah. Uve echod mishloisho dvorim elu ha'isho niknes, and in any one of the following three methods a woman can be niknes: bekesef, or bishtar, or bevia. Bevia uvishtar mehatorah. The Rambam adds on a very strange piece. And he says, Bia and Shtar is Midoraisa. Well, the Kesef Midivrei Sofer. And Kesef is considered Divrei Sofer. Now, we've got to understand what the Rambam means by Divrei Sofer, but his mere differentiating Kesef and from Shtar and Bia is interesting. But Shtar and Bia are proper Doraisas, even though you remember that we didn't learn Shtar directly from a Posuk. And on Hey Amud Aleph, we learned Shtar from the Yotzo V'Hoyso, Makish Havaya L'Tziyo. That just is, since the Yotzo V'Hoyso, that she leaves a woman, and that she leaves a man in a situation of divorce, and then is free to remarry another man, and that leaving the one man and marrying the other man is placed right next to each other in the Torah from this. From that, we learn just as she leaves the man with a shtar, A get is the way that she leaves the first man, so she can marry the second man with a stone. From there we learn that the shtar. Says the Rambam, that's proper doraisa. Even though it doesn't say so explicitly, a hekesh like that is considered proper doraisa. But kesef is midivrei sofrim. And when the Rambam says midivrei sofrim, that doesn't mean it's derabonin. The Rambam, it's important to understand the Rambam's whole method of classification of mitzvahs, which is in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. So almost before one learns the Rambam's main work, the Yadah Chazoka, which is this piece from which the piece that we've just learned, it's really important to know Sefer HaMitzvahs. And in the second Shoresh of Sefer HaMitzvahs, he has a whole lot of Shoroshim, where Shoroshim are basically the axioms by which he determines whether a particular statement in the Torah is one of the Taryag mitzvahs, one of the 613 mitzvahs, or isn't. Because it's quite difficult to figure out how to get to 613. If you include everything that appears to be a mitzvah, there are many more than 613. If you accept only those that are explicitly stated in the language of mitzvah, there are far less than 613. So the different Rishonim have got different ways of different templates by which they decide whether a particular statement in the Torah constitutes a mitzvah or isa or not. And the Rambam develops his in the Shoroshim of the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He calls them the principles, the roots of the Sefer HaMitzvahs. And in the Shoresh HaSheni, he says something quite controversial. And he says that anything learnt by the Yud Gimel Midas, anything extrapolated from the Torah, is called Divrei Sofrim. That's not the same as the Rabbonin. The Rabbonin, the Rambam says, is where the Rabbonin has to institute a halacha as a takono, as a gzeiro, because they see a need for something that there wasn't a need for before. So in order to create a geder or whatever their reason is, they institute a new halacha. That's called midrabbonin. But where we extrapolate something from the Torah, even though it's not written explicitly in the Torah, It has all the force of a doraisa. So, for example, the Rambam says very clearly that if a woman who is mekudeshes bekesef, she's an eshes ish midoraisa, and if she then has a relationship with a man who's not her husband, she's chayeves miso. There's no question about that. But that would be a capital offense midoraisa. So divrei sofrim doesn't place the halacha in a lower category of severity. It just classifies it differently. And the Rambam therefore holds that anything learnt from a gezera shovo would be an extrapolation, and therefore it would be considered midivrei sofrim. So we would have to understand this gemara. The Ramban asks from the Rambam from this very gemara. The Ramban says, how can you say that kesef is midivrei sofrim when our gemara says very clearly that chuppah would be different? If chuppah were extrapolated from the other three, then chuppah wouldn't be kosher of behedya. But kesef is considered kosher of behedya. The Gemara quite clearly says that according to everybody, Abaya, Rova, Ravuna, according to everybody, kesef is one of those written behedya. Now, how's kesef written? We know it's written in two places. It's written from the Gzereshova of Kicho Kicho, Mr. Ephron, and it's written of En Kesef Lo Dezev, Yotzachinom En Kosef. That if she leaves, if a Naira leaves the authority of her master, there's no money to be paid, but if she leaves the authority of her father, there is money to be paid. That's where we learn Kinyan Kesef from. So in both cases, they're extrapolated. That's why the Rambam says they're midivrei sofrim. Nevertheless, they're considered core enough and central enough to be considered ksuvim behedya. There are some who want to say that it really depends. If we learn it from V'yotzachinam en kosef, that's called kosef behedya. Because the pasuk virtually says it. The pasuk says, through the inclusion of an additional word, en kesef, and from that we learn, en kesef lo denzav, al yesh kesef lo denache, that's almost explicitly written. But the Rambam learns it from kicho kicho mistei Ephron, and that's an absolute extrapolation. There's no reference to any money being paid. It's not even talking, that pasuk isn't even talking about a girl, it's talking about a field, and if we learn it from there, it would be a real extrapolation. Be that as it may, whatever the case, we've got to understand that the Rambam's shita on Divrei Sofrim is different from the Rambam's and from other Rishonim, and that the Rambam creates this category of Divrei Sofrim, which is a d'oraisa learnt by extrapolation, not stated mefurish in the pasuk. That's what Divrei Sofrim means. So whenever you see the Rambam say Divrei Sofrim in Yad HaChazokah, don't think that means midrabonin. It could well be a d'oraisa. It's just that it's not stated in the pasuk. It's learnt by means of extrapolation. Now, what is interesting is that not all Gersos in the Rambam are the same as the one that we've got. So if you look, for example, in that Rambam, look at the Kesef Mishnah, he says also, Zedava Koshe. This is very difficult to understand. After all, we learn Kesef from Stei Ephraim. And anything learnt by one of the 13 Midas is considered a Doraisa. And it's difficult to know why the Kesef Mishnah would ask that question when the Rambam states very clearly what he means in Sefer HaMitzvos. He says quite clearly there that something learnt by Yud Gimel Midas is in fact a Dvar Sofrim. Whereas the Kesef Mishnah seems to be understanding that the Rambam suggesting that this is a kind of Drabonin. U'matzati kosu sh'amach b'hagoysov he'id sh'rabbeinu atzmoi higia b'sifroi. But I found that the Ramach says that the Rambam himself changed his mind and changed it in his own manuscript, the Shloshtum Dvar Torah, and that he, in the revised edition, says all three are Dvar Torah, all three are Midoraisa, they're all equally Midoraisa. The Gamani Batsasi came with Chulas Harav Rabbein Avrom Benor. And says the Kesef Mishnah, I've also found the same thing in the Chulas of the Bavrom Ben Harav Rambam, where he also makes reference to the fact that the Rambam holds that all three are Midoraisa. And then he goes on, the Mishnah goes on to say that he doesn't think that's correct, that it's clear from other cases that the Rambam does hold its Midoraisa Sofrim, and so he resolves it. It's interesting, apparently the Bavrom Ben Harambam, Bavrom, the son of the Rambam, was very, very young when his father died. So there are some question marks over how authoritative his comments about the Rambam's view on things really is. And here's an example of where the Kesef Mishnah says that Rav Avraham ben Harambam says his father had changed his mind about this, but I don't accept that. And he gives various proofs as to why that is so. So that's the end of the sugya on chuppah, whether chuppah can work as a kinyan or not. We have a machlokes Rav Huna and Abaye on the one hand, and Rova on the other hand, and we paskin like Rova that chuppah is not a valid kinyan. Which leads us into the next piece of Gemara. The Gemara says Tanu Rabbon, and I'm going to work through this whole piece of Gemara first before we discuss it, and then we'll go from the two dots to the two dots, and then we'll analyze it afterwards. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, Ketzad b'kesef. How does it work? The Kinyan Kesef, how does that? How does it actually operate? Nosan lo kesef, oy shovel kesef, v'omola harei at mekudeshesli, harei at meuresesli, harei at lili into. If a man gave a woman kesef, or shovel kesef, money, or something to the value of the money, and he said, Hareyat Mekudeshesli, or he said Hareyat Meuresesli. Instead of the word Mekudeshesli, use the word Meureses, or Hareyat Lili into, or you are my wife. Harezu Mekudeshes. That's a valid form of Kiddushin. Aval hi shenosno v'omro hi, Hareyni Mekudeshes loch, Hareyni Meureses loch, Hareyni loch li into. But if she says those words, if she gives him the ring and she says it, Eina Mekudeshes, she's not Mekudeshes. So in today's time of egalitarianism, this is very important, that this only works one way, and we've got to understand why that is. This is really for the husband to do the Maisa Kiddushin, it's for the husband to marry the wife, and it's not for her to be active in this at all. Matkit Lara, so that's a brisa. If he says and gives, it's a good Kiddushin. If she says and gives, it isn't a good Kiddushin. Matkit Lara, Papa. And Rav Papa is going to explore the middle case. What happens if he gives and she says? Taimed and Nosan Hu V'Omar Hu, the Braisa is very clear that if he gave and he made the statement that it's valid, implying, Ho Nosan Hu V'Omrohi, if he didn't do both the giving and the saying, for example, he gave and she said, Eina Mekudeshes. That would seem to be that it's not a valid kiddush. He has to do both. Amos says, but if you read the second part of the brayser, Aval hi shenos na loy v'amro he, lo yavi kiddushin. But if she did the giving and the saying, that's not kiddushin. Taima dinos nahiv amrohi. That would imply that the reason it's not kiddushin is because she did everything. But if he would have given and she would have said, havi kiddushin, it would have been kiddushin. So how does that work? If you deduce from the ratio, from the first part of the braisa, it comes out that in a case of he giving and she saying, it would not be a valid kiddushin. From the second part of the braisa, if you deduce from the second part of the braisa, it comes out that if he gave and she said, it would be a valid kiddushin. Onto the Gemara ratio, dafka sefer kedin after. The ratio is the main part. You've got to deduce from the ratio, and therefore it only works if he does both. If he does the kiddush, if he gives and she says, it wouldn't be a valid kiddushin. And sefer kedin after, this the sefer is just added on as an expansion, but that's not the core of the braisa. After one of a tani sefer milta disatra lele ratio, you can't really say that. You can't say the second piece is just an expansion of the first piece because it contradicts the first piece. If you say that the resh implies that in a case where he gives and she says it isn't a valid kiddushin, then the sefer actually says the opposite. Elohakikama, so you've got to answer it a little differently. Nason hu of omar hu pshita tahavi kiddushin. This is how to learn the braisa. In a case where he gave and he said, that's clearly a kiddushin. Nason hu of omrohi, however, if he gave and she said, it's as bad as if she would have done the whole thing and said and given, but lo havi kiddushin, and it isn't kiddushin. So the breaking point is after the ratio. The only thing that works properly is if he says and he gives, he does it all. Anything less than that is as if she did it all, and it isn't the kiddushin. Or an alternative way of learning the braisa, if he said and gave, that's mekudeshes. Nos nehiva omro, if she said and gave, ena mekudeshes, then it's not kiddushin. Nos nehuva omro, if he gave and she said, sveikihi, we're not sure what the din is. The chashinan midrabonan, and midrabonan, we've got to be chashinan, we've got to be choshesh, that it's a kiddushin, which means she's a sofek mekudeshes, in a case where he gave and she said, she's a sofek mekudeshes, which means she's not mekudeshes to this man properly, but if she wanted to marry another man, she would need a get. A get misofik. Let's go through the Rashi on this. Hare at mekudeshesli, or hare at meuresesli. It's not that he says all of these things, he says any one of these things. The Tana Sefer Milta the Sitra L'Reisha, is it possible that the second part of the Raisa actually contradicts the first part? Bitzmiya asks the Gemara, Chiyamrinam b'chol b'chadinis nasta. When we use this answer, we say sometimes there's a tag-on piece. The Raisa tags on a piece which you can't deduce anything from. It wasn't put there for the purpose of deduction and for any other implication. It was put there just as an additional piece. Midi deloy yitzrich lemitne, that means that you don't really need it. It's an extra piece that you don't need. Netanya bichdin, it just adds it on, just to be a little more clear. Aval sefer de satra relation, letani tana, but the tana of a braisa will never bring a sefer, a second piece, that actually contradicts the meaning of the first piece, and therefore we can't say that that's how to learn this particular braisa. We've got to go on to the second and third way of learning, either we're saying that if he gives and she says, that's the same as if she did it all and it's not a kiddushin at all, bevada it's not a kiddushin, or at the very least it's a sofek kiddushin. Hachike Amar, Seifo Avashino Mimash Amanu. The Seifo would mean then that in any case of differing from the Reish's formula, such as he giving and she saying, Nasa Kila Nos Nahiva Amrohi, it's as if she's done it all, she gave and said, Veina Mukudeshis, why? Deba'inen ki yikach ish. Because this is not a case of ki yikachish. So Rashi implies here that in the posuk of ki yikachish is the implication the man has to do the whole kicho. And the kicho is both the statement and the giving. And we'll explain that in a moment. Noson hu dami l'chi yikachish. If he gave it, it's like ki yikachish. Va'omro hi, but if she says it, dami l'tikach isho l'ish. That's like a woman taking a man. And that's why it doesn't work. Now, this word, letikach isho leish, in some Gemaras, you've got the The older girsa that's brought is, and we'll see in the Rashbo, that Rashbo had a slightly different girsa in Rashi. And the other girsa is, the Marshal brings the other girsa, is Tilokach. So Amrohi, Dami le Tilokach isho le ish. Tilokach is the passive form. So that would mean, if she says it, if he gave the Kiddushin and she says, Hare ani mekudesh is loch, or lecha, that's dami letilokach. That is like an issue being taken by rather than a man taking. And that's not good enough. The man has to be active. So we're going to see as we get into the Rashbo what exactly this means. Chayshinan midrabon, and Rashi goes on to say, Shimbo ache v'kidcho. So if somebody else came and was mekadesha, tzricho get mishneim, he would need a get from both of them. Normally, if a man just comes up to a married woman and says, Hareyat mekudeshesli, that has no effect, it has no impact at all. But if a man were to come up to this woman and say, Hareyat mekudeshesli, and she accepted the ring from the second man, she would need a get from both of them, because the first kiddushin was a sofik. If she, in fact, is married to the first man and the second one is nothing, it's irrelevant. But if the first kiddushin was not valid, because she said the Areani Mekudesh instead of him saying it, then the second kiddushin could be valid, and she would need a get from the second man. So because of the suffix, she would need two gittin. Shem alo yushal arishun, kiddushin, v'chol kiddushi asheni, because maybe the first kiddushin didn't work, and the second kiddushin did. Or shem asharishun, kiddushin v'lo shosheni, or maybe the first one was a good kiddushin, and then the second one was irrelevant. Either way, she would need two gittin, one from the first groom, and one from the second. That's the piece of Gemara. Let's try and understand what is taking place here. What is the importance of her saying it here? Why is this not different? We'll see in the Tosfos Rid. Tosfos Rid says what we're looking at here, isn't this like any other transaction? In a normal transaction, it doesn't have to be a statement. One person doesn't have to make a statement. As long as it's very clear what's happening, if either of them were to say, I'm selling you my field, or I'm selling you my vehicle, whatever it is, and there was a proper kinyan, there was a kinyan kesef, or a kinyan hagbo, whatever the kinyan was, that's all you need. We don't care who it is that says what, as long as it's very clear what's happening, the kinyan is valid. So why here are we so meticulous, not only that there has to be a statement of kiddushin, but that he has to be the one who makes that statement of kiddushin? Where do we get it from altogether, that there is a statement of kiddushin? I think what we've got to look at is this word kicha. This whole piece of Gemara revolves around kiyikach, that a man takes a woman. Now, if that kiyikach just means an acquisition, then the wording wouldn't be terribly important. But what does kicha mean? So we have kicha here meaning marriage. We have kicha meaning a transaction, a purchase. As in the case of Stay Ephraim, although there the kicha is referring to the money, but it's the transaction around the purchase, and we talk about a loikeach, a buyer is a loikeach. So the word kicha can mean transaction, the word kicha can mean marriage, and the word kicha also has another meaning in the Torah. Very often when the Torah says, and it applies to a human being, vayikach so-and-so, and he took so-and-so, he took a person, very often Rashi says, lekocho bidavorim. So, for example, we've got right in the very beginning of the Torah when it says, "Vayikach Elokeinus ha'Adam v'yenicheyo b'Gan Eden," Hashem took Adam and he placed him in Gan Eden. At that time, Adam was already born. What does it mean, Hashem took him? Did he lift him up? How did he take him? So Rashi says, "Lekocha b'dvorim," he persuaded him to go into Gan Eden, which is interesting that Adam Arishon needed persuasion, that on his own he was concerned and didn't want to go into Gan Eden. And probably the reason was he didn't want the temptation of the Eitz Hadas. And the Ribbono Shel Olam persuades him that it would be good for him. Anyway, we see there and in many other cases in the Torah that the word vayikach is lekocha bidvorim, which means that we using the word kicha for marriage implies in the very word itself two things. It implies the need to transact, and it implies the need to persuade. And that would seem to mean that perhaps the closest translation then of the word kiyikach is not just to transact or to acquire or to take or to marry, but it's almost to seduce, to persuade. And the method of seduction is a combination of a gift, giving something, a transaction of some sort, and words. There's no act of seduction in just giving a gift. And there's not sufficient seduction in the case of marriage to just say pretty words. But if a man takes a ring out of his pocket and gives it to a woman, and then he says the most romantic words possible, Harei at mekudeshes li, you are dedicated to me, you are my only one, I am your only one, this is an act of kiddushin. That combination of giving her something with, together with these beautiful words, constitutes an act of kicho. So that in the words of kicho itself, we have the roots both of the transaction and of the persuasion. And that's why it has to be him. This is if it's an act of seduction, the idea here is ki yikach ish isha. The idea is that a man seduces a woman by means of a combined synthesis of gift and beautiful words and declaration of intent. Through those two things together, the action of the gift and the declaration of intent, he seduces her into releasing her freedom of choice and giving that up in exchange for marrying this one amazing individual that she really wants to be with. That being the case, it must all be his. And now we can understand the Braisa a little bit better. Nosan lo kesef oy shova kesef v'omar la hareyat mekudeshes li hareyat muritz li hareyat li le'intu hareyzu mekudeshes. If he gives and says, that's a good kiddushin. Just as an aside here, it's interesting that it's put here in the past tense. If you just look at the Braisa carefully, ketzad bekesef, how do you marry a woman bekesef? It should say, nosan lo kesef. He must give her money, and he should say, Hareyat Mekudeshesli. That's what you do. Why is it in the Bidiyevit case? If he gave her kesef, and then he said that it's Mekudeshes, and someone to learn from here that Lechatchila, this isn't the way to do it. Lechatchila, you've got to say it first and then give. And that's how we pass in the halacha. But you've got to say, Hareyat Mekudeshesli, and then give the gift. You don't give the ring. And here you've got the whole, really the principles of seduction of a woman, really, in this.